Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Thursday, August 30th, 2018. And with me today, I have Andrew Orr. How are you, Andrew?
Hey, I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you here. And Kelly Gumont, how are you?
I'm doing well, Jeff. How are you?
I'm great. And hey, we have a sponsor today. That sponsor is Jamf Now, which is awesome. And we'll talk about them soon. What I want to talk about right now, though, is getting rid of our teachers. Specifically, I don't really want to get rid of our teachers because teachers are so critical to making sure that we
all the things.
Yeah, to all the things, mm-hmm. But New Zealand is trying this new thing where they have created a virtual teacher. And Andrew, you found out about this, so fill me in, please.
Yeah, so when I first saw this headline, the world's first digital teacher, I did get a little worried, but it isn't as bad as I thought, because I do think teachers are very important. So in New Zealand, this energy company called Vector is teaming up with this AI company called Soul Machines, and they created this avatar called Will, and it's part of this Be Sustainable with Energy program. So this teacher doesn't replace the entire curriculum. It just teaches kids about energy usage.
Okay. So that's actually cool.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is like the little light bulb that teaches you stuff, like when you go on rides at Epcot?
It's a light bulb with a face.
So pretty much, yeah, it's a lot like that. Okay. Uh-huh. Or the little strand of DNA that's animated in Jurassic Park that talks to you about how they built all the dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, good times. I loved that first Jurassic Park movie.
So good.
It's a wonderful movie.
And also Goldblum.
There's that too. Yes. so many wonderful scenes, so many wonderful lines. Anyhow, this is designed to teach, but just like a specific thing. Do you know if this is something where it actually is intelligent enough that it can parse questions and create responses?
It kind of sounds like it can. I didn't really read, I read this article. There's also a different news release. But from what it sounds like kids can, like, ask it questions and it will piece together responses based on whatever, you know, it was taught, like a regular AI. Basically, it's like a chatbot, I think.
Interesting. Now, I'm wondering, because kids are growing up with voice assistants as just part of their normal world now. If you take this back many years, there are kids that grew up where a microwave was this amazing new invention. But then all the kids after that, it's just part of your life. Mm-hmm. And so now we have kids that are growing up with these voice assistant type devices, voice interaction devices, where that's just the normal thing. So I'm wondering if they're going to interact with something like this, which sounds like it's sophisticated enough to sort of parse out what people are asking and then reply with responses that I don't want to say are pre-recorded, but are preset in some way. And yeah. And if kids are going to interact with this kind of a teacher as if it were a human.
That's what I'm thinking. And this actually reminds me of a quote, how you worded that, by Arthur C. Clarke. And I don't know it by heart, but I'm paraphrasing. So he said something like, technology that enters the world, like by the time you're 35, that's like completely foreign to you. Whereas technology you grow up with is, you know, completely natural.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yeah,
I can see this as a useful tool to assist with with teaching, much in the same way that I sometimes find my HomePod or my Echo to be useful tools in interacting with things in my place, like, you know, turning on a light or something. Mm-hmm. But yeah. I don't see those as a replacement for the light switch, just as a supplement. And,
right.
And yeah. In that same vein, I see this as a supplement. Although now I'm thinking, how long before someone decides, wow, I could save a lot of money in this school district if I replaced all the human teachers with these light bulbs?
Well, in this article, apparently last year, there's this futurist named Thomas Frey. He predicts that learning from these robots will become replaced by 2031. And another person says robots will replace human teachers by 2027.
Oh, that's really unlikely.
Yeah.
Because I think I think the part that people are minimizing in the role of teachers, basically, full disclosure, the bulk of my family is teachers, is the social piece of it. It's not so much the let me show you how you take two and another two and you get four, but don't bite the kid next to you and, you know, monitoring stuff at recess and, you know, being able to see a trend in being able to grade papers, you know, and seeing something in somebody where they are particularly adept at something or particularly not adept at something and need some encouragement in some way or a little bit of fine tuning to make sure that they're getting the learning that they need in the way that they need it. And, you know, all a robot's going to be able to do is look at the, at least at this stage in the game, all a robot is going to be able to do, our digital assistant, is say this kid passed or failed. And there's so much more context that goes into being a student than that yeah. it makes me feel like it's going to be very unlikely, at least in the immediate term and potentially in the longer term, because you need that human interaction with the person at the head of the room for loads and loads and loads of different things.
Mm-hmm. And I think if technology like this had been introduced while I was in school, it would not have worked well at all, because we would have seen this as this crazy novelty and mm-hmm. would have spent all of our time throwing questions at it designed
messing
to
with
confuse it.
It.
Yeah. Totally messing yeah. with
which,
it.
Which I think is still going to be the case, which is the other thing that made me wonder about this story, is like, don't you think they're just going to start asking it, you know, if it has Prince Albert in a can or something?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, but if you start this with younger students, my True. Guess is they'll adapt to this very quickly.
Oh,
and,
sure.
And treat it the same as they do an actual human teacher.
Yep.
Yeah, and the article doesn't actually mention what grade this will be in, so that question was kind of open-ended.
Interesting.
Interesting. All right. Well, I don't think human teachers are at risk of losing their jobs from this, at least not yet, so that's a good thing. And now I just have this image of R2-D2 and C-3PO in a classroom.
Okay, I totally would have paid attention to them and listened to them and done whatever they told me.
Of course. Well, I mean, at least with R2-D2, you know that he can pull out that little electro-zapper thing and give you a serious pop.
Yeah, I don't need tased. I'll do math.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, we have a sponsor today, and our sponsor is Jamf Now. And if you have a small or mid-sized business, and you have a bunch of iPhones and iPads and Macs that you need to keep track of and manage, and you don't want to have to spend a crazy amount of time learning how to use a complicated system for managing all of that, you need to check out Jamf Now, because it's crazy easy to use. It's this nice web interface. You can add devices to it, and by devices I mean iPhones, iPads, Macs, Apple TVs even, and it makes it wonderfully easy to do. You don't have to worry about if people in your business are savvy enough to figure out how to install things so that you can do the management, you just send them a link and they tap the link and it gets everything set up for them, which is great. And then you can keep track of serial numbers. You can keep track of operating system numbers. You can set which apps can be installed. You can force secure passwords instead of letting people set up like 0000 and calling it good. And you can even now send your own custom apps that you've developed for your business out to these devices. So that works on Macs, it works on iPhones, it works on iPads. That's pretty cool. And it's wonderfully inexpensive as well. You can sign up for free, and that's just how it is. It's just free. And then you can manage up to 3 devices for free forever. It's not a special deal or anything. That's just what they do. And then any device after that costs $2 a month per device. So it's really affordable. So if you have several devices, you're not going to break the bank trying to keep track of all those iPhones and iPads and Macs, which is great. So here's what you can do. Even if you don't have a business, you can use this for your own gear or for your family's devices, which is something I've done. I keep track of settings for my parents' iPhones and iPad. And if something goes wrong, I can just push settings back out to them. And it saves a lot of time and aggravation. So head over to the Jamf Now website. That's jamf.com, jamf.com/TDO. And get signed up for your free account. And you can get 3 devices in there for free. No problem at all. That's jamf.com, jamf.com/TDO. And thank you, Jamf Now, for being our sponsor. All right. So, Kelly, you came across an interesting article in Apple's support documents, which is actually like a heads up for people that are looking at installing iOS 12 and macOS Mojave. Tell me about this, please.
So there's a couple of things going on here. And one of them is that a lot of people are much like with Jamf Now, they are people who are administrators of multiple machines, whether that means they work at a company where they're the person in charge of all the Macs, or maybe they're a person at a school who is in charge of them. In any case, that makes you a Mac admin. And so that place where you manage all those machines is generally referred to in generic terms as an institution. So there's this new support note from Apple that says, prepare your institution for iOS 12 or macOS Mojave. And this is for people who are going to be looking at these upgrades, whether it's because somebody decides they want to install it before they got the heads up, you know, the high sign that it was okay, or if it's because they're doing some of the legwork themselves in order to be able to upgrade everybody across their organization. And so what I really liked about this article, what stood out to me, is that there was a breakdown of sort of the high level changes that you need to worry about if you're rolling this stuff out to people on hardware and you're the person who has to support it. So part of why I thought this was interesting is because like in your position, Jeff, where you manage your family's devices, I too manage my family's devices. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of people who listen to the show are people who are the go-to in some fashion for somebody's iPad or somebody's iPhone or for their laptop. And so this article breaks down a little bit of what you need to look for in some of this stuff. And there were 2 things that jumped out. One of them is common to both iOS 12 and macOS Mojave, and that is that Symantec Certificate Associates, or CAs, are going to be completely distrusted at any minute now. It says as early as fall 2018.
Wow.
So as of September, Apple's going to distrust these. Now, why do you care? If you've ever gone to a website and when you click on a link or you type something in or whatever it is, and your computer or your phone starts loading that page, and then you get an error about a certificate, that the certificate is not trusted, that the certificate is out of date. What that is your browser basically going out and saying, hey, this is the page I'm trying to go to. And the page says, cool, that's me. Here's my proof. So it's like, your browser is carding the website and coming up with something it doesn't like.
I love that. That's awesome.
That's what that certificate is for. It's an SSL certificate is one of these. A TLS certificate, which is a transport layer certificate, is the other piece of this. And you usually will have one or the other. And Symantec used to issue loads and loads of these. And the Symantec ones have been proven to be part of one of the, was it Heartbleed maybe, was one of the certificate issues. Yeah. Blast from the past there. Throwback Thursday, everybody. That's what's going on with this in particular, is that a lot of those are being untrusted by like lots of browsers already don't trust them. I think Chrome and Firefox have both come out and said they won't. And the reason for that is because there's flaws in them that can cause bad stuff to happen, or for people to perpetrate themselves as though they are that official website, even though they're not. So if you've ever come across one of those errors, you may get an uptick in those from this. And the other thing I thought was interesting in this particular list is that Mojave is about to go, means that macOS is about to go through the 32-bit apocalypse we already had on iOS last year. Mm-hmm. When iOS 11 came out, you can't run 32-bit apps anymore. If you ran them on iOS 10, it would say, hey, like, there's going to be a time when this is going to go away. You need to do something about it, you know, whether it's upgrade your app or find an equivalent that is 64-bit. And macOS is now doing the same thing. So on Mojave, if you launch a 32-bit application, it's going to give you an alert that it's a 32-bit application, which means whatever comes after Mojave means is when it will probably cease to work altogether.
Actually, we know it's not even probably. Definitely. One of the sessions at Worldwide Developer Conference, mm-hmm. Apple came right out and said, Mojave is the last version of macOS that will support 32-bit apps.
Oh, good. I wasn't in that one, so I didn't hear that part. But
now you know. And I know so for the things you do, that's actually important data.
That's super duper important. So it's a good thing to know going in. Like, you may hear from people about, like, I'm getting this weird dialogue on my Mac every time I open this program. You know, maybe Aunt Dorothy, it's time for you to go get a new version of Solitaire. Like, pay another $1 in the App Store and just get one that's a little peppier. It'll work better for you, I promise. Those were the two things that stood out to me as interesting. You can go through the rest of it if you are a person who spends time with configuration profiles or has to deploy some of this stuff to other people. Those are going to be things that are going to be of use to you. But mostly the 32-bit and the Symantec certificates are the two that I think people should know about. And the 32-bit in particular is a thing that I don't think enough people are talking about.
I think for the average user, that's going to be the biggest thing. And we're going to see a lot of people freaking out.
Yes, I think it's going to be this and night mode are going to be the two things that people talk about most once this is something that's deployed out to everybody. You can go click OK in the App Store and come back an hour later and you've got a whole new operating system. When we get to that point, these are the two things I think we're going to see the most, which are the 32-bit process and night mode, when people go, all of a sudden, everything on my computer is black. What's happening?
Yeah. All right, so I'm going to keep us sort of on track, but change that. I'm moving us to a parallel track for the last couple minutes of the show. So I'm expecting, and I think a lot of people are, that September 12th is when we will get the announcements for the new iPhones, mm-hmm. and possibly new iPads and the new Apple Watch. I'm betting that September 12th is the day that iOS 12 gets its official public release. So, with that in mind, when do you guys think macOS Mojave is going to get released? Do you think it'll be on the 12th, or do you think it'll be later?
Hasn't it usually been later, like maybe a week or two later in the past?
It has, but you know, Apple does whatever they want, so it doesn't mean that's exactly what'll happen again. But I will accept your answer. Maybe a week later. What do you think, Kelly?
I think Apple tends to not enjoy a stampede to their update servers, so I'm going to say that on iPhone event day, if that's the 12th, they're going to come out and say, here's iOS 12. Isn't it amazing? It's available today. And then they're going to talk a tiny bit about Mojave, and we're going to get a date. And I think that date is going to be like the 20th or the 21st. So the end of the following week.
I'm even more pessimistic than you, Kelly. I think it's going to be the beginning of October. I think Apple's going to wait until after the new iPhone launch before the release.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense, because it would be its own thing. Because, yeah, activation servers.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I would give that October. You know, I wouldn't be surprised, being Apple, if they just said Mojave will be out in October and stopped there and didn't give us a number at the end.
I think that's exactly what will happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're out of time, so we have to wrap up. Kelly, thank you for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
And Andrew, thank you for being here as well.
My pleasure. It was fun.
And yeah, this was a lot of fun. And thank you to Jamf Now for being our sponsor. Head over to their website, jamf.com, jamf.com/TDO. Sign up for your free account, 3 devices for free, and only $2 per device per month for any extras that you need. It's a great deal, and it's a fantastic service. So go get your account, jamfnow.com/TDO. Listeners, thank you for joining us. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.